The Supreme Court heard arguments and handed down several decisions this past week. In one case, by a 5-4 vote, the High Court ruled in favor of states' rights when it decided that state employees cannot sue for money damages when they are discriminated against on the basis of disability. Congress had authorized such lawsuits when it enacted the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act. NPR's Nina Totenberg covers the Supreme Court and is here to discuss the case. Good morning, Nina.
Good morning, Leanne.
Although this ruling, as I mentioned, is related to the Americans with Disabilities Act, it's one of the latest in a series of decisions which has given Congress, it seems, less power to protect individual citizens against the power of their state government. What are some of the other areas the court has taken on there?
Well, increasingly, the court has ratcheted up the sort of substantive questions that it's taken on, so that we had labor law, we've had patent. We had last year age discrimination, which in very similar manner the court said does not apply to the states, at least for money damage suits. And now the landmark Americans with Disabilities Act, which the court said does not apply to state employees for damage suits.
So what do you think the Supreme Court is getting into here? Is there a pattern emerging?
Oh, there's definitely a pattern. And this is kind of abstract legal theory, but I'm going to take a whack at it. And there are two principles involved here of states' rights. One is the 11th Amendment, which a majority of this court, the 5-member court majority, reads the 11th Amendment, interprets it, because it doesn't flat out say this, interprets it as saying that states are immune from damage suits by citizens, that they are equal sovereigns in a way with the federal government, and that only the federal government can trump them, not citizens. Citizens can't put them off their stride financially. The second principle involves the 14th Amendment, which was, of course, passed after the Civil War. And the whole point of the 14th Amendment was to make the federal government superior to the states. And it said, in enforcing individual rights, particularly for former slaves, the Congress can provide those enforcement mechanisms. And for decades, the Congress has done that, and not just for minorities. It's done that for the disabled, for example. Now, a few years ago, this same conservative 5-member court majority said, look, Congress has that power, but it can't have more power than we do to say what is a constitutional violation. And it can't go farther than what we say is discrimination, for example, that merits the federal government telling the states what to do. And so the court said in the Americans with Disabilities Act, you didn't have enough evidence. Yes, you may have had 300 instances of discrimination by states, but that's not enough. The dissenters said, you're erecting so many hurdles that you're becoming the arbiter. You're supplanting the role of Congress.
This is going to come up again, because the Family and Medical Leave Act, which was passed by Congress, is going to run into a similar hurdle.
It will, and so probably will the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. And there is no reason on this good earth to think that the court will be any different, that it'll be 5-4. And one has to say that this is a conservative majority, and we have a conservative president who has pledged to name other like-minded conservative justices, and so the court is likely to get more, not less, conservative. So I would have to predict with a relative degree of certainty that those acts will be struck down, at least those provisions of those acts will be struck down for state employees wanting to sue for money damages, and that includes back pay, to enforce their rights.
Can I ask you just one question about states' rights? Wasn't the decision the Supreme Court made after the presidential election a question of states' rights?
This is one of the reasons that the decision was so controversial, that this same 5-member court majority suddenly said the federal government's rules are more important, and the federal constitution has rules that require the states to do certain things, and we should get into this, when in the past and in these other decisions, it is very deferential to the states. So that's one of the very reasons that critics have seized on that kind of dissonance in a way.
There has been a lot of talk about the Supreme Court, particularly after their ruling after the election. How is that affecting the mood in the court? Can you observe anything there?
Well, I think it's probably fair to say that there was a good deal of unusual anger among the justices immediately after, partly because this was so rushed. And all you have to do is look at the decision, and you can see that the dissenters were not even permitted to have the time to respond to the majority decision, because they're really not responding to it. They're responding to something earlier, and that's clear. But I think that's probably already dissipating, because these are nine people who will spend the rest of their lives, or their professional lives, in all likelihood there. And there is this sort of unwritten rule, don't hold a grudge, because they have to get along. So they're trying to make amends and to try to figure out a way to live together. But there are some very basic philosophical differences on this court, reflected in the Americans with Disabilities Act, reflected in Bush versus Gore. They are not Republican Democratic differences per se. They are ideological, philosophical, judicial, interpretive differences. And those will continue to be there, and they will be very hard fought over.
NPR's Nina Totenberg. Thanks a lot, Nina.
Thank you, Leanne.